gospel lesson this morning comes from the Gospel of John. And I'm reading from the 16th chapter, verses 12 through 15. Listen for God's word. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all truth. For He will not speak on His own, but will speak whatever He hears, and He will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify Me, because He will take what is Mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is Mine. For this reason, I said that He will take what is Mine and declare it to you. Sisters and brothers, this is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God. This scripture passage this morning from John is a part of Jesus' speech, or perhaps more appropriately, His soliloquy, at the end of the meal that we usually refer to as the Last Supper. For the past couple of weeks, we've talked a bit about this speech, about how prior to going to the Garden of Gethsemane, especially in John's Gospel, Jesus gives the apostles a long discourse. And He tells them in short form, this is very much short form from how John does it, that He will be betrayed. He gives them a new commandment to love one another as He has loved them. He tells them how He is the way to the Father, and that the Spirit will come to help them because they will be persecuted but remain faithful because Jesus is the true vine and that they must remain in Him to bear good fruit. And that He will be leaving and they will be sorrowful, but their sorrow will turn to joy. All of that in these five chapters before the priestly prayer comes about. And it takes a long time for the Gospel of John to get around saying all that. At least for us, it seems like a long time. Most of this, the apostles clearly do not understand. And then Jesus starts talking about the work of the Spirit here in chapter 16. And now the apostles, much like I and you, really don't get this at all. Unfortunately, this is Trinity Sunday, and you have wandered into church, and we have to talk about the Spirit. It's kind of one of those things that they teach you in seminary, that one day you have to talk about this, although no one really understands what the Spirit is. Most people don't want to understand what the Spirit is. And three, no one wants to act like they are filled with the Spirit. But today, we have to go there. And we will talk a little bit more about the Spirit and the Trinity and the importance it has to us. We can sympathize with the apostles because when we read this several chapters long discourse, we too get very confused. But there is much, much in this, packed tightly, repeated often, and very important. It is somewhat appropriate that this is the end of this discourse that Jesus gives the long priestly prayer. He prays for them to have some understanding at some point in time and for us to have some understanding at some point in time that we might understand what God is doing for us, all of us, in Jesus' acts on earth. Jesus gives them and us these insights into how they will be able to understand all that He has told them. And it is because the Spirit is coming to them. Now, this is not the first time the Spirit of God is mentioned, but here in this gospel, we begin to see the Spirit as not just some strange thing that floats around and hovers over the waters. It is not some thing that makes the apostles speak or someone speak or act crazy like Saul did when he was being about to be made king. Here it is given to us as the Spirit as being a different personage of God. We see the Spirit as a different person of what we call the Trinitarian God. Trinity. That topic that no one wants to talk about except people who only talk about theological things, And generally, in my experience, they're talking about it and they have no idea what they're talking about either. Trust me, I read a lot of people in the last few weeks who said a lot about the Spirit trying to describe it, and I got more and more and more confused after every theologian I read. So, let's talk for just a second. Let's get a little bedrock here. God is one. One. The God, the only God. Not three gods. One. There are three persons of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. These are not roles like we have in our lives, although we sometimes try to describe it in that way. I am a father. I am a husband. I am a son. I am a pastor. That is not what we're doing when we talk about the Trinity. There are different beings so tightly wrapped together, distinct persons, yet so closely bound in relationship to one another that they are, in fact, one. If you ever have been to a wedding, which I'm pretty sure I've seen most of you at a wedding, or I think you've at least been through a wedding, somewhere in the service it talks about, usually, how two become one. We can understand that part, can we not? I've been married long enough that my wife finishes most of my sentences now because she knows what I'm trying to say, what I can't get out of my mouth because my brain has locked up. That is how it becomes. These three personages of the Trinity live in that way, only way deeper and more so. These three are distinct persons, yet so closely bound in one relationship to one another that they are, in fact, one. This is how God has chosen to reveal God's self to us, God's own church. That's important. So hang on to that as we slog through some more of this good stuff. We could go around and around all day long trying to define this Trinitarian formula. Believe me, the church has struggled with this from the very beginning as we have tried to understand the essence of God. I do believe that in the end, while it is not only a good thing to wrestle with this essence and the formation of the Trinity, that essentially at its core, we cannot understand it in this life. Not totally. It is beyond our ability to experience totally. We can get hints of it, and we can try to live into it as we should. But we can't stand here and tell everybody this is what the answer is to the Trinity. This is what it is. Trust me, people have been trying now for at least 2,000 years. We have no frame of reference in our lives and how we live, how we are in this life, to draw some conclusion or to be able to grasp what this Trinity truly is all about. But it is also important for us to understand that we can learn about this marvelous mystery of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. There is more we can learn about it than we just know. And our passage today gives us a tremendous insight into the economy or the workings of the Trinity. And I believe that in this understanding, we find a true gem of how we are instructed to relate to God, Father, Son, and Spirit, as well as how we are supposed to relate to one another in the church. It's another thing you need to hang on to, we'll come back to. Jesus just announces the coming of that Spirit by saying, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. The Greek word here literally means to carry. They cannot carry the load of what else Jesus has to say to them about the Spirit in this place and time. Now, to understand, this sparks a little controversy in the church called Gnosticism, going way back, where people thought there was some information that Jesus had that he kept from his apostles, but later they claimed it was given to them, and that they knew that more information, better information than what everybody else had, and that Jesus really looked like a human being, but wasn't. He was spirit all the time. That is really not what Jesus is talking about. Jesus knew that at that point, sitting at the Last Supper, getting ready, trying to process all that he has told them to, that they could not, they did not have the ability to understand what he was going to tell them. And there's no way they could understand all of this. But one day, when the Spirit did come to them, they would understand. They can't handle it right now. No need to waste their time on it or confuse them more. But when the Spirit comes, when they experience the Spirit, then they can understand it. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into the truth. For he will not speak on his own, but will speak whatever he hears. And he will declare it to you, that he will declare to you the things that are to come. The Spirit of truth, used only here in the Gospel of John, it is specifically an expression that is about the truth of Jesus Christ. The truth of what Jesus is and what he has done and what he is doing for us. With this, Jesus is expanding the concept of God from being Father and Son to being Father, Son, and Spirit, the Trinity that is born here. Or at least in our eyes, humanity's eyes, this is when it comes. By giving us the exact operation, the exact function, the exact essence of the Spirit, Jesus tells us this is coming, that this is here. Now, Jesus always points us to God the Father. He is the best concrete example of who God the Father is in a way we can understand. Not completely understand, but as best as humans can see and understand this business of the Son, fully divine and fully human. We hear that the Spirit communicates the truth that leads us to Jesus. The Spirit constantly points us to Jesus and to who Jesus is and what he said and what he did. But the Spirit does even more than that. He will glorify me because he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. For this reason I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. What is affirmed here is the truth that is the relationship between the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. Such a communal relationship that three persons, Father, Son, and Spirit, are really one being. Again, we can get close, but we can't get there. For the Spirit is not about what makes the Spirit great or what pleases the Spirit, but what glorifies Jesus, who is the truth. And for Jesus, it is about bringing glory to the Father. Jesus always points us to the Father. And for the Father, glorifying the Son, and so on and so on, the three glorify each other in their very existence for our benefit. This is really easy peasy stuff, right? You probably read it at breakfast this morning and said, oh yeah, I got all this, right? Not a problem. However, in this ever so intimate relationship, we see that in this time between the start of God's earthly kingdom and the completion, what we see in the Trinity is what God, Father, Son, and Spirit want the church to be. That this is what we, as Christians today, should be striving for in the church so that we, by the power of the Spirit, point to the Spirit. The Spirit points to Jesus, and Jesus points to God the Father. We are called into that relationship. The Apostle Paul writes about it constantly, uses all sorts of images of trying to say that we are all a part of that, and no part is too small to be insignificant or unnecessary. It all has to be given in. And this is tough for us. Now, the author of the Gospel of John, probably Hebrew, gets it a little more, for in that culture, it was a tribal culture. You were one of a part of a lot. Your tribe. There was less individuality there. But in this Western individualized world, our ethos, is about promoting the individual over the whole. We do it all the time. We earn our own way. We pull ourselves up by our bootstraps, which is physically impossible, by the way. You just can't pick yourself up. You got nothing to go on. I always thought that was a dumb thing to say, but it's been around for a very long time, and that's who we feel like we're supposed to be. We're individuals. We're here. And as time has gone on in this country especially, that has gotten to be more and more the mantra. You need to get out and get yourself fixed up. Get it done. This business of being in relationship one and another, and our relationship with God, Father, Son, and Spirit, being tied into our relationships with each other, is so countercultural to us that we don't try to understand it. We don't want to understand it. But the church is called to live it. In our baptism and our profession of faith, we literally are brought into Christ, inside of Christ, and therefore made a part of this wonderful, messy, indefinable communal relationship that is the Trinity and the Church of Jesus Christ, including all of us. That's who we are supposed to be as a church. And our goal as the church is to glorify God by testifying to the glory of the Father and of the Son and of the Spirit. That's also a problem for most of us, especially for Presbyterians. We don't like the Spirit. It very digs at the root of our individuality. You cannot accept the Spirit if you're worried about just being me. Because the Spirit will only be in you and accepting it and giving you the information, linking you to the truth of Jesus Christ, only when we give up our individuality. And that is hard. And we certainly don't want to go around acting like those Baptists. Let's face it. But I would say to you, if God, the Creator, the All-Powerful, the All-Knowing, one who was never born or never dies, just always is, the all-everything of God, if God chooses to reveal God's self to us as a perfect, all-giving relationship, isn't that what we, God's own church, should be striving for? Is that not what we are called to do? To emulate Christ? The Spirit leads us to Christ, and Christ gave everything for us. Is that not how we should be revealing ourselves to the world? That's why we have a Trinity Sunday. It is important to remind us of the essence of who we are to be as Christians, bound so tightly, not just with God by the Spirit, but with one another. But the only way we can do that, the only way that can happen, is by trusting the power of the Holy Spirit to reveal God's truth to us. Why do we need the Spirit? and it can't be Trinity Sunday without quoting at least one theologian. Helmut Delicke. Probably not high on your list of names that you know, but a really wise guy from the 50s and the 60s who passed away in the 80s. He writes, and I've cleaned up the language a little to not be too bad off, "The natural human cannot achieve representation. Representation is speaking on someone else's behalf. You cannot be an advocate on your own initiative, by methodology or hermeneutical effort. We can't study our way to it. We can't draw a timeline on how to get there. We can't make a roadmap. Without this gift of the Spirit, we have only a dead past and a historical distance. The testimony of the Spirit is thus a protest against our own endeavor, preparation, thought, or work. You can't work your way to it. You can't think your way into the Spirit. You have to open up in a relationship and trust." The question that we have today is, are we as individual Christians and as a particular church about living in such closeness with one another and with God that we are bringing glory to God, Father, Son, and Spirit? Or are we just trying to play nice so other people will think us good? Happy Trinity Sunday. Amen.